This is a reading of a cycle of lectures by Rudolf Steiner entitled The Apocalypse of St. John. This is Lecture 11, given in Nuremberg on the 29th of June, 1908. We have followed the evolution of our Earth so far that we have seen how, after various important events which are characterized for us by the opening of the seven seals and the sounding of the seven trumpets, in the future the earth with all its beings will pass into a kind of spiritual condition, with the exception of those who refuse to receive the Christ principle. This refusal we have to understand as a malevolent and unintelligent spiritual opposition energetically exercised. Of course, when the earth has taken on its astral, its spiritual form, these beings too will be unable to exist in a dense material form, shall we say, in earthly substance. In the period following after the sounding of the trumpets, the period characterized by the outpouring of the vials of wrath, they will also pass over into astral forms. But the lower nature they will have acquired through not having accepted the Christ principle will be expressed in the astral by their having essentially the animal form we have characterized, with the seven heads and ten horns. Now, from all that has been said, you will be able to gather what the relation is between what we call heads and what we call horns. But in connection with this, the question will still arise in your soul. Why is it that just certain organs which appear in the physical body are called horns? Why does one designate as horns the physical organs and their vestiges in the astral when the earth shall have become astral? It can be easily understood that those who have not taken up the principle of Christ must fall back again into the condition in which man was before he could partake of the Christ principle. Man was formerly a non-individual being with a group soul, and we have seen that during the first four ages of the Atlantean epoch, he was furnished with the group souls which are correctly symbolized by the lion, bull, eagle, and man-like heads, the last being conceived of as an animal head. Thus we must imagine that when man reappears in the spiritualized earth and has failed to take in the Christ principle during our epoch, he will then again appear in the old form, because he has contributed nothing toward the higher development of his previous group soul nature. And not only in this form, but with three heads more, which were added during the subsequent ages. Before the great flood of Atlantis, three further ages followed after the first four. In these three ages, those who later received the Christ principle also had, in a certain way, the possibility of taking up three further group soul heads. But they have transformed them. They have raised the animal nature in man to a higher stage. They appear in a spiritualized form when the earth is spiritualized. The others, who have rejected the Christ impulse, will appear with seven heads, because there were before the flood seven ages during which the animal nature was developed. And because in the last three Atlantean ages bisexuality reigned in contradistinction to the first four, each head, so to speak, appears with two possibilities toward the animal nature, with male and female possibilities, so that in these three later ages each head appears with two horns, that is man, with ten horns altogether. Someone might now say, "Well, I quite understand that those who do not work upon themselves so as to strip off the form which they have and lift it up to the human will reappear in the animal form. But I do not understand why horns are spoken of. It is quite comprehensible when heads are spoken of, but why horns?" I will now explain why one not only speaks of horns, but must speak of them. The expression is not merely to be understood symbolically. It is a reality. Those who fail to take up the Christ impulse into themselves will actually appear in astral form also. But because they have so shaped their instincts that they have held fast, so to speak, to the animal group soul, the corresponding instincts appear in the astral body, which men will then have, in the form of horn-like protuberances. It is an actual form. I will explain, by means of a single organ, how it comes about that the man who does not receive the Christ principle will actually appear with horns when the earth has become spiritualized. Take the organ of the human larynx and the windpipe. You are continually breathing air in and out through this windpipe. This is an activity which man exercises. In a person who spiritualizes himself, this activity is in the service of the spiritual. But in one who does not incline toward the Christ principle, it takes on the character of the old forces belonging to the seven heads. Suppose we illustrate it in this way, and there's a picture. The air continually passes in through the larynx from outside. But you know that the astral body of man surrounds him. The stream of air, which passes in, will always be in connection with the astral. Now, when the breath is spiritualized, it can be seen whether the breathing of a man was the servant of the Christ principle. If it was the servant of the Christ principle, it loses the form adapted to the present body. Man himself has the power to transform everything which is astral into a higher spiritualized form. If he does not take up the Christ principle, he is unable to draw out of this fleshly form what is suited to it. And the consequence is that after the fleshly form has fallen away and disappeared, after the physical larynx has gone, this form of the astral body remains, which continuously pokes its way into the larynx with the breath. The form remains in the shape of a horn. Wherever the external astral forces go in and out of man, they remain adapted to the preceding animal form, when man passes over into the astral form. That is, he then appears with true astral horns. These are actual astral shapes. They correspond exactly to the penetration of the astral substantiality during earth life. These pictures do not present random symbols. They present the true form of what will one day appear. This must be clearly understood. Let us now determine our present position in evolution, in accordance with what we have already considered, in accordance with that somewhat uncongenial scheme with many numbers. We now clearly understand that the 49 great transformations of Saturn are over. The seven conditions of life belonging to Saturn, which in theosophical books are also called rounds, each with its seven conditions of form, called globes by them, and that further, the 49 corresponding sun conditions and the 49 moon conditions are also over. Man has so far passed through these 147 conditions in his evolution. Adding to these now come the conditions which man has already passed through during our Earth evolution, the first three conditions of life, which are also called the first three rounds, are behind us, and we are now living in the fourth condition of life, in the fourth round. Now, as each of these rounds includes its seven conditions of form, we have completed 3 times 7 conditions during the first three rounds. Therefore, to the 147, we must add another 21. We have not yet completed the fourth condition of life, but part of it is behind us. We have finished the first three conditions of form, the almost formless spiritual conditions of arupa, rupa, and the astral conditions, and are now in the physical. So to the 147 plus 21, we must add three more. Thus we have completed 171 conditions of form out of the 343 of the seven planets. You must particularly bear in mind that we are now in the 172nd condition of form, which is the physical earth. During this 172nd condition, all that we have described has taken place. When this condition began, the earth was united with sun and moon. During this condition, the sun and moon withdrew, and after these events, man appeared as he now is upon the physical earth. Then began the Atlantean epoch, of which we have spoken. We have also said that we must again divide this condition of form, which is the 172nd, into seven epochs. The first lies in the far distant past. When it began, the sun was still united with the earth. Somewhat figuratively, we have grown accustomed to calling this epoch the Polarian race of mankind. It is difficult to form any idea of this epoch. Then, during the withdrawal of the sun, comes the race of the Hyperboreans. Then, during the exit of the moon, a third, the so-called Lemurian race of mankind. The fourth epoch within the 172nd condition of form is the Atlantean race. The fifth is the one in which we are living. Following the fourth was the great Atlantean flood. After our own will follow the epoch expressed in the Apocalypse of John by the seven seals, and then comes the one typified by the seven trumpets. Now we know that each of these seven epochs is again divided into seven ages. Our own epoch, the fifth, within the 172nd condition of form, is divided into the ancient Indian age of culture, the ancient Persian, the Assyrian, Babylonian, Chaldean, Egyptian, Jewish, the Greco-Latin, our own, a sixth, and then a seventh age of culture. Then follows the great war of all against all. The succeeding epoch is again divided into seven parts expressed by the seven seals, and the epoch expressed by the seven trumpets is again divided into seven parts. If you now consider that 171 conditions of form will be added to those that we have already passed, you will have 342. One more added to this gives 343. But we are living in this one. It stands in the middle. Someone might now say, it is really a very wonderful thing that we have the good fortune to be living exactly in the middle of evolution. This must indeed seem a curious fact to those who do not reflect further upon it, that we are living in the middle of evolution. But to one who understands the whole matter, it is by no means strange. It is no more wonderful than if someone, standing in an open field in level country, where he sees equally far behind and in front, finds himself in the middle of a field of vision. If he goes some distance further, he again sees equally far behind and in front. There would be entirely different conditions in evolution if we were to take our stand at another point. We are always in the middle. Man can always see equally far behind him and before him, even with the highest spiritual vision. Something else might perhaps strike one. Someone might say, how is it that you do not say that we are exactly in the middle in other respects? For here is something that does not quite fall in line. We are in the 172nd condition of form. The exact middle would be in the fourth epoch of this, but we are now in the fifth, that is, somewhat beyond the middle. This does not exactly agree with the statement that we are actually in the middle. Underlying this, there is a remarkable fact. You may understand it by a comparison. If you comprehend this clearly, you will see that it is an important fact. It is really the case that in regard to the great main conditions, we are in the middle. But in regard to the conditions which concern us immediately, we stand somewhat beyond the middle. Why is this? Imagine you are traveling through very level country in a special railway carriage from which you can have a clear view in every direction. Suppose you are able to do this for some length of time. You have a perfectly clear view. And if at any one point in your journey you could rapidly make a sketch of the whole of the surroundings, this picture would be absolutely circular. There is only one case in which this would not be so. Imagine you are sitting in the rapidly moving train, and you note the picture as you see before you. At this moment, you fall asleep, and travel for a time while sleeping. During this time, you are unaware of the way in which the picture is changing. You awake. Imagine that at this moment, the picture you saw on going to sleep quickly arises again. It does not now agree. The reason is that you have been asleep for a certain length of time. Your picture does not now coincide with the view which is equal in every direction, for there is, in addition, the part you have slept through. Let us now ask, is it perhaps the case that man has slept from the middle of his evolution up to our age? It might be explicable to us that the picture would have to agree up to that point. Now, as we have come beyond the middle, it would be possible, if we have slept, that the picture may have shifted a little. Has man been asleep? In the occult sense, mankind has been asleep since the middle of the Atlantean epoch, because that was the time when the whole human race, as such, lost the ancient dim clairvoyance. From the spiritual point of view, man sinks as if into a state of sleep. He begins to turn his attention to the sense world, and thus from the point of view of the spiritual world, passes into a state of sleep. And only when he has regained the higher vision will he have a free view, so to speak, in every direction. There will then no longer be this shift of evolution. There will be the same distance behind and in front. Since the middle of the Atlantean epoch, man has, in fact, been asleep, by reason of his being unable as a normal human being to participate in the sight of the spiritual worlds. If we leave initiates out of account, somnambulists also, if you will, we have to say that man does not see, for seeing means really to look into the world. As regards the spiritual world, mankind is asleep, and will continue to sleep for a time. Since the Atlantean epoch, the statement of John's Gospel holds good. The light shone into the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Thus in this division there is hidden an important truth, the truth that mankind is living in a dark age, the age of darkness, and the Christ principle has come in this age in order that mankind might be led forth into the age of light. For this reason it was correct to put the present position of evolution not in the middle, but beyond the middle, because in Atlantis begins the dark age, which will continue into the sixth epoch, when the elect appear in white garments, when they appear as the first of those who are again able, under ordinary normal conditions, to have the spiritual world around them. The age of darkness will have passed away. Then appears the age of which it must be said, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends the light. For this reason the Black Age is also called the time when man directs his gaze only to the physically material world, and under normal circumstances does not see the spiritual world behind it. We shall now connect this with what has already been said regarding evolution. When evolution has progressed beyond the seventh epoch, beyond the epoch indicated by the sounding of the trumpets, the earth then spiritualizes itself and passes over first into the astral, then into the lower devachanic, and finally into the higher devachanic condition. It returns again to the same conditions by condensing more and more from the finest spiritual. And the condition comes, which is usually described in theosophical textbooks, as the fifth round, which again will have seven conditions of form, and in the middle will again pass through a development of what might be characterized as seven successive race conditions. Now let us, even if it be somewhat difficult, look a little more deeply into the coming conditions of our earth evolution. Let us turn our gaze to a quite definite point in our future evolution, just as we have been considering the present point. Let us start with our present, namely the 172nd condition. Prior to this 172nd condition, the earth had already completed three sub-conditions. The 172nd condition is the earth itself. Three have already been completed, and it is now in the fourth of these conditions. We are, at the moment, considering only the conditions of form. We reckon that we are in the fourth condition of life, or fourth round. Granted this is so, we say, in this fourth condition of life, or round, we have already passed through three conditions of form, and are now in the fourth. Now we ask further, how many of the sub-conditions have we passed through? The first, second, third, and fourth. The last was the Atlantean epoch. This is now completed. We have passed through four conditions, and are now in the fifth, the post-Atlantean. Of this fifth epoch, we have, again, passed through four sub-conditions, namely the ancient Indian, the ancient Persian, the Egyptian, and the Greco-Latin, and are now in the fifth age. So that we can say, before our immediate present stage of evolution, we have completed 3, 4, 4 conditions. These 3, 4, 4 conditions, which we have completed, are described in apocalyptic language as the number of evolution. When therefore it is asked, what is the number of evolution, our evolution? The answer is 3, 4, 4, spoken 3, 4, 4. This is not read according to the system of 10, but according to the system of 7. 3 conditions out of the 7 have been gone through, and 4 conditions out of the next smaller 7 have been gone through, and 4 conditions out of again the next smaller 7. That is what is really meant by 3, 4, 4. One must not simply read it off like other numbers, but it contains, written side by side, the number of conditions passed through. Now let us think of the following. When the earth is spiritualized and has developed to its next conditions, then more and more stages will have been gone through. And the time must come when 6 conditions of the first kind, 6 of the second, and 6 of the third will have been passed through. Just as we now have 3, 4, 4 as the number of evolution, in the future when 6 conditions of life, 6 fundamental races, and 6 sub-races have been gone through, the number 666 will apply, read in the manner described, which is the method used by the writer of the Apocalypse. Thus a time will come when the number 666 is the number of evolution. This will only be in a very distant future, but this future is already being prepared at the present time. 3 great main conditions have been completed, and we are now living in the fourth. But when the time indicated by the 7 seals has passed, when we have reached the great war of all against all, we shall have gone through 6 of the middle kind. When the first trumpet sounds, we shall have passed through 6 such main races. And when the first 6 trumpets are over, we shall have experienced 666. Up to then, mankind will have had the opportunity to prepare for the terrible time, which will follow much later, when not only 666, but 666 will be reached. All that lies in the future is already being prepared now. The time that will come after the war of all against all, the time when the 7th trumpet sounds, will see men who, through having excluded themselves from the Christ principle, will have attained a high degree of evil, of the tendency to sink into the abyss. By then these men will have seen to it that when the point of time 666 comes, they will be able to descend very deeply into evil, into the abyss. Men will have taken into themselves, already in the period after the great war of all against all, when the 7th trumpet sounds, the germs of this descent into the abyss in the far distant future. It will, indeed, for a long time be possible for those who have taken these germs into themselves to turn round and be converted, to turn back in their development in order even then to receive the Christ principle. But the first predisposition will have been formed, and those who retain this tendency will no longer be able, when that distant future has come, which is indicated not by 4, 6, 6, but by 6, 6, 6, to change this tendency into good. They will succumb to the frightful fate of which we have still to speak. Thus we see that with this number 6, whether it is single, double or treble, there is connected something bad for human evolution. We are now living in the fifth main period and the fifth sub-period. After the Great War, we shall pass into the sixth epoch. But before the Great War, there comes, immediately after our fifth age, the sixth age, described as the community of Philadelphia. We know that we are now living in the age in which materialism has spread abroad in mankind. We have seen how, through the centuries, man has become more and more materialistic. But this materialism is such that reversal is possible at any time. The materialist still has the opportunity to turn back. It is, however, necessary that at the present time a spiritual conception of the world should gain ground, a conception which leads a small group of people to this occult spiritual view of the world. This group will comprise those who will lay the first foundation.